I hope you are all doing well on this very, very snowy morning. I was expecting that we would have one day of reprieve, but I guess not. I have just one announcement for you this morning. That is that tomorrow at 4 p.m. at the Keppel House, if you have an interest in immersion trips, but you're not quite sure what they are, what that would entail, we invite you to come out and just get some information on them. There will be some cranes, donuts, and apple cider, so that's a little more incentive. And then I would also like to introduce to you my friend Lindsay Small. Lindsay and her husband were pastors for a number of years, and now she works at Western Seminary in their continuing ed department. I am so thrilled for you to get to hear her and the word that she brings. So would you pray with me? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we know with all our hearts that your wounds have paid our ransom and that in you we are redeemed. We ask that in these words that Lindsay brings this morning, you would remind us of that redemption, of that new life, of the way that you claim us and call us yours. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Well, the Lord be with you. For those of you who went to Sunday school growing up, do you remember the old school flannel graph? Do you remember that? It was a felt board, and your Sunday school teachers would use it to, you know, act out the Bible story for you. You know, usually had a blue background, a sun in the sky, and if your class had the deluxe version, it usually had like the rocky path down the middle of it. Now, when you order your standard flannel graph, there's a number of Bible characters that come along with your purchase. There's, you know, Peter and probably Paul and Jesus. Actually, there's a number of Jesus. First, you have your standard Jesus with the white robe and blue sash. Then you have your aqua Jesus, able to jump out of boats in a single bound. Then you've got your, like, Last Supper Jesus. You usually also get your group of disciples all in one big cluster, and they kind of travel around the flannel graph like this. There's a few Old Testament, you know, folks thrown in for good measure, usually Moses and David and Jonah and the whale. Now, you can upgrade your flannel graph purchase and get a few additional characters and props, and I love the props that come with it. Usually you get, like, a stable, and then there's a boat, and you can get your tomb complete with rollaway boulder and blonde angel to come with it. And I would venture to guess that no one has ever made a flannel graph character of the woman that we are about to meet in the book of Acts. And she's not alone. There's a whole company of second-tier characters in the Bible that run a little lower on the food chain. Their names are not Paul or Peter or Esther. They don't have books of the Bible named after them. They are not standard with purchase, and they are not even available at an additional cost. They are the minorest of prophets. And their names are dotted throughout the Bible, stumbled over during scripture readings, and then passed over. But not this morning. Now, I don't have a flannel graph with me, but I'd like you to pretend that I do. And when we come to this amazing woman in Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 41, we're going to place her right in the middle of it. So hear the word of the Lord from Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 42. Now in Joppa there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. And she was devoted to good works and acts of charity. And at that time, she became ill, and she died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men with him to him with a request, "Please come to us without delay." And so Peter got up, and he went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. And all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside the room. And he knelt down and he prayed. And he turned to the body and he said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. And she gave her his hand and he helped her up. Then calling the saints and the widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. From the very first verse of this passage, we know that Tabitha is important. First of all, she is introduced by Luke in this passage as a disciple. The same word that's used to describe Peter and James and John, she is a disciple. She's not a disciplette. She's not a disciple in training. She is a disciple. Not only that, Luke takes time to list both of her names, both her name in Aramaic, Tabitha, and her name in Greek, rather unfortunately, Dorcas. The point is, she was known in both communities. And time is taken to note her commitment to the least of these. And her service was to a particular group of people, the widows. In the ancient world, the term widow was fairly inclusive. It was used to describe any woman that was not under her father's protection. So it could indeed mean somebody whose husband had died. It could also mean a woman who was divorced or simply had not been married, but was old enough to be out of her father's house. This was an extremely vulnerable population. The fact that the Bible takes so many times to talk about caring for the widows means that they were extremely marginalized in that community. But the widows of Joppa had a special person to care for them. They had Tabitha. She sewed their clothing, she attended to their needs, she loved them, and therefore her death is such a tragedy that they send out for Peter. I have to wonder, what were they expecting Peter to do? He had never raised anyone from the dead before. He had been doing some miraculous works, but nothing like this. Were they simply hoping that maybe he would speak at her funeral? Were they hoping that they would simply give witness to this disciple? Or were some of them hoping for the impossible? That Peter really could raise Tabitha from the dead. And so Peter comes and prays over her and commands her to get up, and she does. It is this miracle here at the end of the passage that catches everyone's attention, and rightly so. Raising someone from the dead, this takes multiplying food and healing illness to a whole new level. Through the power of God, Peter is able to bring someone who was dead back to life. This is extraordinary, and this is the news that spread, and many who heard about it believed. This miracle is what elevates Peter from the lowly fisherman to Bible superhero status. And so this story gets filed under Peter, and Tabitha becomes a quick footnote. But perhaps there is more than one extraordinary act in this story and more than one hero. Because I think it's extraordinary that Tabitha would devote her entire life to an extremely vulnerable population. And I think it's extraordinary that this group of women would be so distraught that they would seek out Peter and tell him to come. And I think that it's extraordinary that Tabitha would be able to continue her work with the widows. God is at work in all of these places. The same power that raised Tabitha from the dead encourages the widows. The same spirit that compelled the mourners to seek out Peter gave him the prompting to say, "Tabitha, get up." God works through the superheroes and the common heroes alike. And we heroes, whether super or small, are simply called to be faithful. Faithfulness is simply attending to the work of God without notice or entitlement. It's serving the least of these without the least bit of expectation. It's using your gifts to bring beauty and hospitality to those who need it. It's praying for the impossible and giving God the glory when your prayers are answered. Peter and Tabitha, they were extraordinarily faithful. This past summer, I took our kids to the splash pad over on 8th Street. And after a few moments, I noticed this tiny wet footprint on the dry pavement. And I called my 5-year-old over and I pointed to her footprint there on the pavement. And she stared at it for a moment and then she looked up at me and she said, "Did I do that?" I said, "Yeah, you did that." It's the little things, right? She runs back into the splash pad and gets her feet wet and for the next 15 minutes runs around making footprints all over the dry cement. Of course, her footprints dried up within minutes. But for that moment, Madeline's footprints were unique and beautiful. Tabitha left a small footprint in the vast story of the Bible. But it is unique and it is beautiful. She reminds us that we can all leave an imprint on the world. We stand in the footprints of both the leading roles and the supporting cast in the Bible, and we say that we too want to make an imprint for Christ. So where will yours be? Start noticing your footprints. Where have you received blessing, and where will you give blessing? A friend of mine likes to say, live your life in a manner worthy of those who live their lives for you. These saints on and off the flannel graph went before us. They lived their lives, and many of them lost their lives for us. And we stand on their shoulders today, and we say that we want to live lives worthy of them. And so let us be faithful to God, to one another, and to those remarkable, unremarkable saints that went before us. May we live lives worthy of those who live their lives for us. Amen.